महतस् तु विकुर्वानाच् राजः सत्वोपभृमितम् तमः प्रदानास् त्व अभावद् द्रव्य ज्ञान क्रियात्मक महतस्तु विक्रुवानाद् राजसत्वोपभृमहिताद् तमा प्रदानस्त्व अभावात् द्रव्यज्ञान क्रियात्मकः महतस्तु विक्रुदवानाद् राजसत्वोपि बृहत् तमः प्रदानस्त्व अभावात् द्रव्यज्ञान क्रियात्मकः महतस्तु विक्रुवानात् राजसत्वभिमत्हितात् तमः प्रदानस्त्व अभावात् द्रव्यज्ञान क्रियात्मकः
Matajis. Mahata of the Mahat Tattva, but Vikrur Vanat, being transformed, Rajah, the material mode of passion, Sattva, the mode of goodness, Upabhim Hitat, because of being increased, Tamaha, the mode of darkness. Pradanaha, being prominent. Tu, but. Abhavat, took place. Dravya, matter. Jnana, material knowledge. Kriyatmakaha, predominantly material activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, material activities are caused by the Mahatattvas being agitated. At first there is transformation of the modes of goodness and passion, and later, due to the mode of ignorance, matter its knowledge and different activities of material knowledge come into play. Purport. Material creations of various descriptions are more or less due to the development of the mode of passion, rajas. The mahat tattva is the principle of material creation, and when it is agitated by the will of the Supreme, at first the modes of passion and goodness are prominent, and afterwards the mode of passion, being generated in due course by material activities of different varieties, becomes prominent, and the living entities are thus involved more and more in ignorance. Brahma is the representation of the mode of passion, and Vishnu is the representation of mode of goodness, while the mode of ignorance is represented by Lord Shiva, the father of material activities. Material nature is called the mother, and the initiator of the material life is the father, Lord Shiva. All material creation by the living entities is therefore initiated by the mode of passion. With the advancement of duration of life in a particular millennium, the different modes act by gradual development. In the age of Kali, when the mode of passion is most prominent, material activities of different varieties in the name of advancement of human civilization take place, and the living entities become more and more involved in forgetting their real identity, the spiritual nature. By a slight cultivation of mode of goodness, a glimpse of spiritual nature is perceived, but due to the prominence of the mode of passion and the mode of passion, the mode of goodness becomes adulterated. Therefore, one cannot transcend the limits of material modes, and therefore, realization of the Lord, who is always transcendental to the modes of material nature, becomes very difficult for the living entities, even though prominently situated in the mode of goodness through cultivation of the various methods. In other words, gross matters are their maintenance is adidaivam, and the initiator of material activities is called adhyatam. In the material world, these three principles act as prominent features, namely as raw material, its regular supplies, and its use in different varieties of material creations for sense enjoyment by the bewildered entities.
Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojwala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dvandaharine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaur Tvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Sha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Igaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth chapter of the second canto, which is entitled The Cause of All Causes, slightly technical purport, slightly technical words, but tremendously important to understand. The purpose of this scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, is manifold, but one of the main purposes that is relevant today from this verse is twofold. One is to establish the supremacy of Krishna. Krishna bhuliya jiva bhogavancha kare niketeya mayastane jhapati adhare. In this beautiful Bengali verse, we understand that every single person sitting here, in fact every single living entity present here, there's one thing which is common in all of us. We might have we may be different in various ways. We may obviously looking different. We come from a different family, and the way we do things is very different. But one thing is common. Of course, one thing is common, that we are our spirit soul. Yeah. But other thing that comes with that is that we are all having a diseased condition, and the diseased condition is that we have forgotten Krishna. We have got this long-term memory loss. It's been a long, long time that we have forgotten Krishna. Krishna bhuliya jiva. What happens? What is the symptom of that disease? Like every disease has a symptom. Right? If you have some infection in your body, the symptom is you have fever. And that we know that somewhere there is a infection. Or you have some pus somewhere. Right? So different symptoms. What is the symptom of this disease? Krishna bhuliya jiva. The symptom is bhogavancha kare. That the symptom of a person who has forgotten Krishna is that he desires and to enjoy separate from the Lord. And he works very hard. And when I say he, it includes she also. And we all work very hard to somehow or the other enjoy separate from the Lord. And believe it or not, lucky that we don't remember, but we have been struggling to enjoy like this for millions of lives. Now, please imagine what I'm talking. And it is not the exaggeration. And when I'm saying this number, I'm saying it with all understanding. It is millions of lives, what our scriptures explain. Brahmanda bhramite kono bhagyavan jeev. Bhaunam janmanam ante. Jnanamam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. So what is the praman of what we are saying about millions of lifetimes? This is the praman. Bahunam janmanam. That means bahu, bahot, many, many lifetimes. Krishna says that I know all of your lifetimes, but you don't know. He tells Arjuna. So Krishna knows every single lifetime that we have lived. But we don't know, luckily. Because otherwise it would have been traumatic. Just to imagine, just to remember what all we have gone through in our lives will be traumatic, isn't it? Just to know every type of death that we have met in the last previous lives will be traumatic. Just imagine you know it. So one is to understand that we have this disease of enjoy separate from Krishna. That is, Bhagavatam is very clearly establishing. And another is that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. You know, if you if you go back in this chapter, there's this beautiful inquiry. What is this discussion happening? Discussion between two very, very special personalities. What are these two personalities? Shripad Narad Muni and Lord Brahma. Guru and disciple. Lord Brahma, who is the creator of this, everything that you see, is our original Acharya. We belong to the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Parampara. So he's our original Guru. Tene Brahma Riday Adi Kavaye. That he is the original Guru who received knowledge from Krishna. So can you imagine what a special person is Lord Brahma? And Narad Muni, who is a traveling Sankirtan preacher with illustrious disciples to his name. And Narad Muni in a very humble way is asking Lord Brahma, that please tell me who is the creator. And as I understand, you are the creator. You have done so many. How does this whole thing work? It is beautiful verses. If you see the verse number 2, for example. My dear father, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? Who is it created? How is it conserved? Under whose control is all this being done? My dear father, all this is known to you scientifically because whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, or whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within this universe, is within your grip, just like a walnut. My dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? So, you know, he is making these beautiful inquiries, Narad Muni. And from the 11th verse, Lord Brahma is answering. He's saying, I create after the Lord's creation by his personal effulgence. Just as when the sun manifests its fire, the moon, the influential planets and the twinkling stars all manifest their brightness. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, whose inconceivable potency influences them to call me the supreme controller. The illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position, but those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thought of it is I and it is mine. So like that, Narad Muni is actually telling that actually you are the supreme. It is you who are the creator and you know everything. Now, you know, many times human tendency is that, you know, when we have not done something, but somebody tells you that you are the doer, that, I mean, not all the time, but the tendency is to say, yes, you are right. Right? What do you say? Yeah, many kiya. I mean, even though you know in your heart that I have not done it, but the tendency is that you want to look that you are the doer. And here, the doer is Lord Brahma, which he is really a big creator, a big doer. And Narad Muni is saying that actually you are the doer. You have done everything. But he is very honestly saying that I do everything under the guidance of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and whatever I do is under his direction. Just like when the sun is there, all the other planets, the stars, they get their light from the sun. Similarly, whatever you see around, it may appear that I am the doer, because he is seen in front. But he said, actually no. It is all simply just a spark of Krishna's splendor. Krishna says himself in the Gita. This is a spark of Krishna's, of my splendor. So, it is very, very interesting to see that how Lord Brahma is being very honest. And then, it is explained in a very, very complicated way. At least we see that, you know, how the whole creation is manifested. See, to create something is not easy. Like, for example, if you see large, you know, factories which are created. I know of somebody who is whose role is to establish large factories. You know, he is like a big project manager, and he sets up huge factories. I mean, you know, of maybe of oil refinery or various factories, or a biscuit manufacturing unit, or a Cadbury, I mean, such things. Now, I was talking to him the other day, and he said that it is a humongous effort to set up something as a factory for making biscuits. You just get Parle G and you eat it, right? But, I mean, it takes a huge effort to really manufacture that biscuit. There's huge machinery that is involved. And he's a project manager. He's one of the big project managers for that. And, you know, he's paid a huge sum. I mean, significantly huge sum. Can you imagine what it takes to create the whole universe? And that is, the creator is Lord Brahma. So please, my dear friends, what we are trying to understand is how glorious, how evolved is this personality, Lord Brahma. Are we understanding it? How great he is. How intelligent he is. That's Lord Brahma. So this, our Lord Brahma, you know, as we hear from Srila Prabhupada, one day he said that I need to meet Krishna. I need to give him some important report. So, you know, he went to meet Krishna. And of course he was stopped at the door. I said, who are you? I said, of course, I'm Lord Brahma. Please tell, I want to meet Krishna. So Krishna, the doorkeepers went. I said, Krishna, Lord Brahma has come. So Krishna told, asked him a question. He said, please ask him which Brahma. What did he say? Which Brahma? Oh, the doorkeeper obviously does his duty. So he went. I said, the Lord is asking which Brahma. And Brahma was extremely bewildered. I said, what do you mean, which Brahma? Right, end of, like you, you know, there's only one, for example, in a company, there is only one Chirag. And you go to the boss, and the boss, the secretary says, the boss is asking, which Chirag? I said, it's just one Chirag. What do you mean, which Chirag? So only, then you say, okay, Chirag Shah. Be more specific, you know. Tell him, I'm Chirag Shah. I'm just giving an example, right? So Lord Brahma said, what do you mean, which Brahma? And usually you give your identification for something that you are specifically proud of. That's something which you have unique. And you say, Chirag Shah, the project manager. You tell him that. And then you say, guy goes, you know, project manager Chirag. Okay. So Lord Brahma said, tell the Lord, the four-headed Brahma. Because the Lord Brahma was feeling, everybody has one head. But you know, I am the only person who has four heads. So that was his unique USP, unique selling point. They said, tell him, four-headed Brahma. So he went inside and said, this is four-headed Brahma. I said, okay, call him in. And then Krishna, just before Lord Brahma came, he closed his eyes for a second. And Lord Brahma was walking inside. And as he was walking, he was getting extremely bewildered. But as he was walking, along with him also, they were walking. You know, one more Brahma came, looked like Brahma. And looked at him. And he looked at Oprah and said, this person had eight heads. And then he said, oh, maybe there's two of us, eight and four maybe. But then as he was walking, my dear friends, he saw Brahmas with 16 heads, 32 heads, 64 heads, 128, 256, 512, then is 1024. And Brahma, there are millions of heads. Now don't ask me how this head fitted. It did. There is a painting. Please see the painting. They show it, how the heads fit. But he had Brahmas with millions of heads. And that Lord Brahma offered obeisances to the Lord. And he was feeling extremely insignificant. Among these Brahmas, he was the least. There was no Brahma with three heads. He had the least number of heads, four heads. Because by dear friends, the heads of Brahma is based on the direction that are present in that universe. So our universe has only four major directions. But there are millions of other universes, which have millions of directions, and based on direction, Lord Brahma has that many heads. That's how huge our universes are. And that's how insignificant we are. You agree? If you agree, then this whole class is worth it. If you just agree this one thing, that yes, we are insignificant. Among these huge universes, millions of universes, who is Sridharma Das? I mean, what is that? It's not even a speck. Right? And Lord Brahma is practically nobody. So please, let us all understand that Lord Brahma is so great, but greater than Lord Brahma is our Lord Sri Krishna, whom we are worshipping in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple. Let us all know the fact that it has taken us millions and millions of lifetimes to come and sit in the class today, not because of my class, but sit in this class of Radha Gopinath temple in front of Radha Gopinath. It has taken us literally millions of lifetimes to be here. It is not ordinary. It is very special to have the understanding of Krishna, of Vrindavan, to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To have that understanding is very, very rare. And we are right here. Of all the millions of people, all those people who have that understanding are very fortunate. Bhagyavan, Sudurlabha, these are the adjectives written for all of us. The Shastras are talking about us. Such people as Sudurlabha, rare. So that is why, please understand, what is Vaishnava Sangha? Why is it so special? Why the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Vaishnava Sangha is the birthplace of Bhakti? Where is Bhakti born? Bhakti Devi, where is she born? It is in the Sangha of Vaishnavas. And why is she born there? Because this Sangha of the Vaishnavas is the Sangha of those one in millions of people who have come together to congregate, to glorify the Lord. Each one of you, me included of course, we are one of those millions of people who have been fortunate by the causes mercy of the Lord to get some understanding of the divinity of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So, the Bhagavatam, as I was mentioning, it has multi-purposes. One is to also obviously understand how insignificant we are and how we are trying to be enjoying separate from the Lord all the time, and how insignificantly we are trying and we are not being successful. And how glorious is Lord Krishna. But the unique feature of Lord Krishna is that He is supremely great but extremely simple. Krishna's speciality is, usually what do you see when something is really great? It is very complex. You all agree? Something is really great, like you have this spaceship which goes to the space. It has to be something very, it going to the space. You know, we all saw that Chandrayaan, right? And you know, it took them years, and you know, it is the each circuitry and the each the functionalities of that is so super complex. These are double, triple PhD scientists working in our ISRO. The best of brains of India working there, and they can launch successfully. So obviously it is very complex. But this is the unique feature of Krishna. The Krishna is the supreme. Chinta mani prakara sadma sukalpa briksha laksha vritesu surabhiya bipala yantam lakshmi sahasta satasam brahma sevyamanam govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma's prayers. This is Lord Brahma's prayers. He said Krishna is so supreme, there are millions of Lakshmis or Gopis serving Him. There are millions of cows serving Him.
And then the next verse, Alola Chandraka Lasadvanavalya Vamsi Ratnanganam Pranay Keli Kala Vilasham Shamam Tribangam Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bajami. Alola Chandraka Lasad. He's just wearing a forest. I mean, what does he like? If you give a choice, he likes to wear a forest garland. You know, he wears simple dhoti, yellow color. His favorite ornament is what? It's the peacock feather, which is just lying anywhere in Braj. The peacock, because they shed their peacock's feathers and it's lying everywhere. And that's the peacock. Once it is, all singar you do of the Lord, all singar, you have the most ornate singar today also. Right? But if there's no peacock feather, the whole shringar is incomplete. And with all the ornate shringar, you just put the peacock feather, everything becomes complete. If you don't have no shringar, but you have a peacock feather, it's complete. That's how much Krishna loves. So Krishna is a simple God. And the tendency, as I was trying to see, what is our tendency? The Krishna consciousness process is simple. But don't you feel, please let me know if you agree with this, that don't you feel that we are expert in making this simple process very complicated? Yes? What did Prabhupada say? Actually what Prabhupada said is, actually what Krishna consciousness process is, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And honestly, if you simply just chant Hare Krishna, you will be happy. But are we all happy? Because we are not just chanting Hare Krishna. We are doing many other things. We love to make things complicated. And there's a beautiful verse, or what beautiful quote. Making a simple complicated is commonplace. Making a simple thing complicated is commonplace. But making complicated simple, awesomely simple, that's creativity. You know, to make anything simple, complicated is, it doesn't take much, you can make it very complicated. But why 1 plus 1 is 2? And then the expert mathematicians will have a whole huge, I saw it. There was a mathematician who was my friend, he was doing his PhD in elastic mathematics in IIT. I don't even know what elastic mathematics means. I just know what is elastic, I know what is mathematics. But I don't know what is elastic mathematics. He was doing his PhD in elastic mathematics. This was way back in 1989. I went to the IIT. I was talking. He said, then he showed me a whole proof, which a couple of pages, to prove that 1 plus 1 is 2. I said, I don't need to know this here. I just believe it is 1 plus 1 is 2. But what is the problem? Isn't that a easier way out? To just accept, yeah, 1 plus 1 is this, is, and that is what Prabhupada called it, axiomatic truth. Some truths are not to be proved. Krishna is God. Don't try to prove it. Similarly, 1 plus 1 is 2, don't try to prove it. And you accept it, yeah, one, and based on 1 plus 1 is 2, then you have 11 plus 11 is 22. We can easily derive that. Isn't it simple? Yes or no? Yes. But you know, when you have some very, 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 very fertile brains, you say, no, how can it be that simple? We have to prove it. And there are people who can prove it, but Krishna has given them the brains, they prove it and they understand it. But I didn't understand anything from there. And Krishna is so kind that he doesn't need you to understand complicated things, because he has made himself very simple. Just imagine if Krishna was a supreme lord who was extremely complicated. You can understand him only through all this mahatattva, passion, ignorance and all the modes mixing together, and the glance of the Lord coming, and then boom, when the glance comes, all the modes mix together, then there's creation. He said, "Yeah, kuch samjha nahi yaar. I mean, I didn't understand anything. So don't worry. Just accept." That is why, what is very interesting is, I was also not understanding this word. I said, what do I speak on this verse? I don't understand anything from what this verse is talking. I tried to fathom, and then I saw the title of this chapter. He said, the cause of all causes. I said, that I know. The title is very sweet. That whole purpose of this, what is the title of the chapter? No. What is usually a title is basically the sum and substance of the whole chapter. That's why you call it a title, right? So the whole chapter, the sum and substance of the chapter is the title. The title is very sweet, cause of all causes. I have been hearing this, Sarva Karana Karanam. Who is Sarva Karana Karanam? Krishna. That all I know. Why? If I understand this, this is wonderful. If I don't, no problem. But the fact is, we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, what we want to speak for some time is, that let us keep our lives simple. This is the last day of the year. And I'm sure as we move forward in the next year and the previous years, you will all agree that overall life has become more and more complicated and complex. It has supposedly become easy, but with that so-called little easiness. I remember, for those who are my age or maybe a little younger to me, in their 40s or 50s, and of course, so we all remember what banking used to be earlier. We used to actually go, my parents would send me, I said, go and withdraw this 5,000 rupees from the bank. What do? You are a young guy. You are used to all ATMs. All the people who I said, what do? You go to the ATM and withdraw. But what was banking originally? You go to the banking, you fill a form, you go to a particular person sitting on the counter, he stamps the form, and then he gives you a token. And he gives you, your token is 12 number, you stand for the token, and sometimes the token machine stops working, it's not working, so they sound, Bara number! Right? Because half the time it's not working. And then you run to that person, and then you say, then he would be very personally asking you, Kunsa note chahiye? 10 rupiah, 20 rupiah, 100 rupiah. They said, Paanch note, 10 rupiah ka? Remember, we used to tell him that, and then he would write. And that's how we would get it. It was so simple, and so nice and sweet. But you say, Arey Prabhu, what do you mean? Half an hour you are wasting there. Here you just go to the ATM and withdraw. But with that withdrawal in from the ATM, you have these huge scams of things being put on cameras. They can read your ATM and use in a second lakhs of rupees getting gone from your account. Is this simple or complicated? It's hugely complex. And that gives rise to cyber security of industry. A multi-billion dollar industry which will help you to safeguard all your... So that's what Prabhupada made it simple. Prabhupada said very nicely, this world is nothing but one progress. Progress is nothing but to create something to take care of the mess that you created. You make something more to overcome that mess. That's what is progress. Isn't it? Please think about it. You created big cars and now you're going back to the electric car. Because petrol, you see, and then you electric car, there is something will come out of something wrong with the electric cars. Then you do something else and there's something else. So that's all is complicated life. What was playing like in the past? All those that we played, we just required one stick and one tire. You remember? We used to play with tires. All you 40s and 50s, remember we had this cycle tire. You would just go with the tire and play with the stick, and for hours we would play that. What you would need is what we call gilli danda. Right? What is gilli danda? It's nothing, a stick and then one wooden stick sharpened on the edges. And that's what, by the way, what Krishna would play also. Yeah. Very simple. We could spend hours. But how complex life has become. What sort of games our children are playing nowadays? What sort of complex, we are talking about of obesity in that age. None of us were obese at that time. None of us, because we were just running around. But now we talk about obesity of 10 years old, 20 years old people. Complex life. So please, the reason I'm saying these simple things, my dear friends, is to just drive the point that we are expert in making our lives complicated. And Prabhupada said one statement which really hit me. Life's too short. Don't spend it living someone else's life. Very interesting word. Life is too short. Don't live your life as if you are living somebody else's life. What does it mean? Don't live the way others are living. Don't aspire for things that others are wanting. And that's what making the life complicated. He has it, she has it, I don't have it. And so what we are doing, we are not living our life. We are living that person's life. We are living the other person's life. And there are multiple peoples whose life we want to live. I want to be like him, I want to look like him, I want to talk like her. So we have our aspirations from each person. So what are we really doing, Prabhus? What are we really doing? We are not living our lives the way Krishna has given us, the way we are made. We are trying to live our life where others are living. Isn't that making our life more and more complicated? You are made the way Krishna wants you to be. Why you want to be something different than what Krishna wants you to be? And that is making our life so damn complicated. We are never happy. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochiti na kangshiti samasarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. It's explained that when one is on the Brahma Bhuta platform, he neither hankers for anything nor laments for anything. Neither hankers for things that he has lost nor laments for things that he doesn't have. And our life is filled with these two things. What are these two things? Constant hankering and lamenting. That's the story of life for 99% of the people in the world. We are constantly hankering for things that we don't have and others have. And lamenting for things that somebody else has taken from us or we don't have it. And then life becomes so complicated. But Krishna is a simple God. And if we are, if we realize that we have got this rare opportunity to understand Krishna after millions and millions of births, today on 31st of December 2023, I've got a fortune to come to Radha Gopinath temple and stand in front of the deities and pray to him. What should I be praying? Not for that, give me this, give me that. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim kavitava jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmaneshwari bhavatad bhakti ahaitu kitvai. I want ahaituki apratiyata bhakti of yours, my dear Lord. That is what we are praying for. And that is simple bhakti. I don't want anything else. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it very simple. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Don't aspire for anything else. I know it is not easy. I know the senses are going wild. We all know that. But at least we can pray to the Lord. Not that, please, I want to have a... One thing I want today is, like, give me simple bhakti. Because you are a simple God. What is Krishna's favorite devotees? Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshtanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadu Varge Nava Kalpita. Of course, there are the five things, the three things. The first three things, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. That the Lord that we worship, he said very specifically, Vrajeshtanaya. He is the Lord that we worship as Gaudiyas, is the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, who is a very simple, of course Krishna in Dwarka is also Krishna, but he is very opulent Krishna. So of course we worship all Krishnas, but as far as our Aradhya Bhagavan is Vrajeshtanaya, the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vraj, who is a simple God, doesn't wear his shoes, just had a simple Pitambar Dhoti, a Vaijanti Mala, and peacock feather, and wandering in the streets. And he was, you know, that's what happened, right? He was just playing in Vrindavan, and then the friends, they get their tiffins, and you know, they're playing with each other, and they snatch each other's food. Krishna practically takes the food from somebody's mouth and eats it. And to the extent that, you know, Madhu Mangal was drinking a whole matka of chas, because Madhu Mangal doesn't like to share, because, you know, he just has huge appetite. He can't share. Not that he doesn't want to share, but he said, Mera peti nahi bharta, toh kya share karu? Huh? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Janma sardha kari kar paropkar. So, you know, paropkar should be after my janma, but, you know, Madhu Mangal's requirement itself is so large. So, he cannot give to anybody. Not that he is a very miserly gopa. So he was drinking things fast. A big chas he was drinking. And Krishna came running to him. He said, hey, give me, share with me. And by that time he had taken the last gulp. It was still in his mouth. Like this. And Krishna, he did this. And this came out of his mouth. And what did Krishna do? He opened his mouth. And when Lord Brahma was on the top, he saw this. He said, this can't be Lord. Hey, how is Bhagwan here? What is he doing? This can't be the Lord. So Lord Brahma, the same Brahma who is telling the Krishna Supreme, the same Brahma, he got damn bewildered. I said, this can't be the Lord. And then of course we have the whole Brahma Vimohan pastime. Where he took the cows and calves, then he took the gopas. And then, you know, he took them up to his loka. And in a second he came down and everything was as usual. Business as usual. No problem. And he said, hey, what happened? Where is all the gopas? And I took them, but here they were. And then Krishna, what a beautiful pastime is this. This happened in Chomua, in Vrindavan, very close to a Vrindavan village. And then Krishna, all the gopas and all the cows, they turned into four-handed Vishnu forms. And Krishna was just standing in the middle like this. And then Lord Brahma said, my God. And Lord Brahma likes, you know, he's a creator, right? He likes to see grandeur. He said, wow, this is really good, man. You know, this, all the gopas became four-handed, very effulgent, you know, ornately dressed Vishnu forms. And this is just part of Krishna's expansion. And then he realized, oh Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, Krishna is a very simple God. You know, we should all understand that. You know, so, Aradhya Bhagavana Vrajeshtanaya Tad Dhamma Vrindavana. Vrindavan is a simple place. You know, its beauty is in its simplicity. There is something which is opulently beautiful and something which is called simplistically beautiful. Right? Sometimes you go to somebody's house, it is opulently beautiful. Of course it is beautiful, but very opulent. Very opulent with very, very costly stuff and it still looks beautiful. This is what happened when Krishna went to Mithila. There are two devotees, Shrutadev and Bahulasva, who received him. Bahulasva was the king. And Shrutadev was a very poor person. But both were great devotees of the Lord. Their devotion was perfect. Both of them had the same devotion. But both obviously, so Bahulasva had cleaned his palace in a very spick and span way, and he was just, while Krishna was walking in his palace, they were throwing, you know, scented waters on him, and there were dancers dancing for him, and it was very, very opulently beautiful, the whole entry of, the whole reception that Krishna got from Bahulasva. And our Shrutadev Prabhu, you know, he was a very simple, I mean, he didn't have anything, he was just he and his wife. So Krishna was coming. So, you know, while he was dancing, he didn't have people to dance for him. He was dancing. And while he was dancing, which he would throw water down. Then he was dancing. And then if somebody, when Krishna was walking in Bahulasva, there was somebody doing chamara fans. Now, this gentleman didn't have chamara, so he was also moving his shawl like this in such a way that some breeze goes on Krishna. So simple, my dear friend, isn't it? Aren't your hearts attracted equally to Shrutadev's devotion and also Bahulasva devotion, yes or no? Yes, we feel that, oh, Bahulasva is a great, he was offering everything that he had, and here is this wonderful devotee, Shrutadev, who is doing on his whatever he has. So there's something what is called simplistically beautiful and something which is opulently beautiful. Both is beautiful. But Braj, unlike Dwarka, is simplistically beautiful. Dwarka is like 16,108. Ornately, beautifully laded, you know, Prabhupada describes they are marbles and lapis lazulis and all sorts of fancy stones in each of these palaces. And that's Dwarka. And that's Dwarkadish, who is the ruler of Dwarka. And then there's Braj. And there's cows. The land is just wet constantly with the milk dripping from the cows. The smell over there is only of the cow dung. And the sound is only of the milking of the cows going on or the making of butter. That's Braj. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the greatest worshipable place that we worship. He didn't say Dwarka. Even the Dwarka is important. But he said Braj. Aradha Bhagavana Brajeshatanaya Taddhama Brindavanam Ramya Kachitu Pasana Brajavadu. And all of all the devotees, they are opulent devotees of the Lord. Who have, you know, Indra is the devotee of the Lord. He has so much opulence. The Pandavas, they had this whole, what is that, Sabha which Mai Danav made in Indraprastha. What sort of opulence was that? Oh, it was like more than, I mean, millions of times more than heaven. That's what Pandavas were staying in that palace. So they are devotees are very opulent. But of all the devotees, we worship the Brajabadhus, who are simple milkmaids of Braj. And that's why you saw this beautiful drama. These simplistic children of Thane, so innocent. They were the right people. Because if adults try to be gopis and gopas, they look awful. Because, you know, we don't have the simplicity. Right? We agree. If the same thing were done by all of us adults, we couldn't have done anything close to what these people did. But these children were naturally simplistic. They don't have egos. And when they speak what Krishna spoke, they sound natural. But just imagine if some adult speaks this. I mean, it may not be as good. I'm not saying it will be bad. But this drama showed us the simplistic devotion of the gopis of Vrindavan. So Krishna is a simple God. The Vrindavan, the place that he likes to live, is a simple place. The devotees of these dearmost devotees are simple milkmaids of Braj. And that is why Prabhupada made these two very important statements, Prabhu. Please remember this. That Krishna consciousness is so simple that you may miss it. You know, sometimes when something is so simple, that's all it is. That's all I need to do. Just come to temple and chant Hare Krishna. And then, no, it can't be so simple. Then you have missed it then. Then you do make things so complicated. And he also said, Krishna consciousness is simple but not easy. Prabhupada made this another statement. Sometimes we have another problem. Krishna consciousness is simple. But simplicity does not mean it is easy, because it is not easy to be simple. How many of you agree to this? It is just not easy to be simple. While simple sounds simple, simple. But it is very difficult to be simple. So what does it mean to be simple as devotees? What does it mean? Simple means what? Moment we talk of simplicity, usually many times the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, simple clothes. Kapda simple peno yaar, hairstyle simple rakho. But does it just boil down to just externals? Does that Krishna looks at the dhoti and the wave? No way. Krishna, who cares? That's why we had this example of this great devotee Pundrik Vidyanidhi, who is the incarnation of Rishabhanu from Krishna Lila, father of Srimati Radharani, who came in Lord Chaitanya's Lila as Pundrik Vidyanidhi. And he had come to, and Mukunda and Gadadhar, they came to meet him. And they were like little bewildered. Because Pundrik Vidyanidhi was very, because he was a wealthy person. He was dressed very ornately. He had very beautiful long curly hair. And he was eating pan. And in between, you know, he would look at in the mirror how he was looking, making his hair proper like this. And they said, hey, yaar, ye kaisa devotee hai bhai? Because they were trained in simplistic devotion. So he said, what is this? And they said that he's such a, they were told that he's a very great devotee. So don't judge the book by its cover. Neither it is necessarily a very, very simple book. It's not necessarily good. And a very, very opulent book is not necessarily bad. You understand? Usually we think the other way. But both other way also is important. If something simple doesn't mean it is good. It can be simply horrible. And something very opulent, as you would hear, both opulent. But something is opulent, it can be very good also. What's the wrong with opulence? So, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, they said that. So he said, just start chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam verses. And this chant is chanting Srimad Bhagavatam verses. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in ecstasy, 10th canto of Bhagavat. His love came out and he just ripped about all the pillows, he broke down all the curtains, he was in such uncontrollable ecstasy and his hair were disheveled. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't control myself. And then they realized, this was the devotion that Pundarik Vidyanidhi had. It was just a cover, a thin layer of his opulence. The moment that layer was little dug, boom, what came out was like a upsurge of ecstatic love for Krishna. That is what was shown. So, what does it mean to be simple as devotees? It doesn't mean that externally we have to be something. Yes, simple living, high thinking Prabhupada said. Simple living means, yes, to live, to live not necessarily having lot of things, because more things means more problems to maintain it and all these things. But what it primarily means, Prabhus, is being simple person is very honest. There could be an exhaustive list, but there's something that came to my mind of what usually are the traits of a simple person. Just Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, today is his Disciplines Day, we are going to speak about him. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was asked about what is simplicity. They asked him, what is simplicity? And Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur didn't explain simplicity means 1, 2, 3. He said, simplicity means no duplicity. It's a very unique way of describing something. Sometimes you describe something and explain what it means. Sometimes you describe something means what it is not. So he said, simplicity means no duplicity. That means dumba. Dumba is the Sanskrit word is dumba. Am I right? It is right, being duplicious. Duplicious means what? To show the world what you are not. To speak to the world what you don't believe. And is it that not what we usually do many times? You show the world what you are not, especially as devotees. Because if you start showing what you are, oh my God, you look awful. You'll be like Putna. But you want to show yourself to be like the sweet lady who was Putna also, but dressed so nicely that even the Brijbasis were bewildered. So we have this Pondraka-like facade that we all have. Like Pondraka had this facade of Krishna. Each side he had this, and many people believe that he was Krishna. But we try to show ourselves as with this Pondraka-like facade, this pseudo-facade, what we call, of something that we are not. So be honest. Second trait of a simple person, a simple devotee, I would say, not even a person, simple devotee, is a being straightforward in your dealings. Being straightforward in your dealings, not to have any ulterior motives to say something and to mean something else. Do you think this is prevalent many times? We don't necessarily mean what we say. And that's why, because we are not straightforward in our dealings, there is a huge trust deficit in our relationships. Yes, you agree? Because people can't trust us, or we can't trust people, because what you speak and what we do is two different things. We are not straightforward. At the same time, being straightforward does not mean being shameless. You know, but I'm straightforward, you know. I broke all the 4 principles yesterday. I'm straightforward. No, that's shameless. I mean, you should be ashamed to say that. Many times, you know, nowadays, people, they lose their, they become very shameless, and they openly speak about their fallen condition on the internet. It is all over different books and different faces. It's shamelessness, right? And we are not saying that we have to be shameless, but we have to be straightforward. Please understand, it's two different things. Third thing is, to be a simple devotee means to be non-competitive. A simple devotee doesn't really feel that, you know, I have to be better than somebody. And even if he wants to be better than somebody, is simply his or her mood is to compliment that person and to really serve Krishna in the best way. Please understand, these are lofty principles. I'm sure we find ourselves extremely short of what we are trying to achieve. But that is what I exactly said. It is very difficult to be simple. Yeah, it's a proof. Is it easy to be non-competitive? It's just innate nature, right? You see something, I want to be better than that person. Somebody distributes 100 books. You may not speak it in the temple because it is not a proper way to deal in the temple. You have to look humble in the temple, right? So you might not speak proudly. But in the outside world, you speak out, hey, I want to be better than you. In the outside world, that's the way things happen. But in temple, you can't speak that, but you feel that. You feel that for sure. I want to be better than that person. I want to have a better car than that person. I want to be getting more so-called mercy from the guru than that person. This is all there. It's all there running in our system. Simple. You want to attract the simple God Krishna. Krishna loves simplicity. That means non-competitive, competitive. The fourth thing about simple God, I mean simple living, is non-judgmental. We should not be judgmental about. A simple person is never judgmental. And the most important is, a simple devotee always focuses on the core of the practice of Krishna consciousness. He's always focused on the core. He is not disturbed by the peripheral things. What is the core of Krishna consciousness? Our sadhana. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if we are constantly focusing on the core of our practice of Krishna consciousness, that is means our sadhana. What does sadhana mean? By chanting our 16 rounds, it is important that we are regularly, every single day, for those who are taking the vows, to chant 16 rounds every single day. It appears to be simple, 16 rounds. But I tell you, friends, to do it every day for years, I'm sure it's not that easy. It is challenging. But irrespective of that challenge, to keep on doing it, 16 rounds, 4 regulatory principles, Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing, that's the core. To stick to the core and not divert it. Because what does Maya want? The Maya wants you to get diverted to the subordinate principles and not be focused on the core. Maya wants you to grow wide at the cost of your depth. Please understand this statement. Maya loves that you go wide, you increase your activities, you become a big preacher, 100 people, you become a big XY, numbers attached to your name. Maya likes that to have you. At the cost of what? At the cost of your depth. Just imagine if a tree is just growing wide, but not growing deep, what happens? What happens? It falls with just a simple breeze. Not even a gust of wind. Just a breeze will make it fall. So simple person is attached. Devotee is attached to the core. The practice to go deep. Not to say that we are not going to go wide, but depth and width. Depth and width. And that's what Prabhupada is all about. Prabhupada's teachings is all about. Prabhupada devised this whole day with a strong morning program. Whether we are in the temple as brahmacharis or temple residents, or whether we are congregation devotees, I don't think there was an option given to us of having a very lukewarm morning program. Where did Prabhupada say grihasthas can chant anytime? No. We all are supposed to chant our 16 rounds as far as possible in the Brahma Muhurta or the morning. But we just make our life very complicated and our rounds go for a toss. And then we are chanting all over throughout the day Kirtaniya Sadahari. In a wrong application of that statement. Sadahari, Kirtan. Pura din Kirtan karta hu kya? Aray, pura din mala chalta hai mera. But we are supposed to sit and chant 16 rounds. We are supposed to read Bhagavatam in the book format as far as possible. Not in the phone format. We all are loving to read in electronic format. That is good for reading when you are traveling. That's fine. That is definitely. I'm not saying remove all your apps from phone. You read it. But here, read it in book format. This is the book which Prabhupada's print is there. Prabhupada's words are there. It is purifying when you read it in the book. Attending class, not on Zooms and Teams and all these things. Attending class in the class. In the temple. Simple devotion. This is simple. Let's follow the simple process. Don't complicate it. Because we just love to do things differently. You know what? Now I'm just happy hearing at home. It saves so much time, Prabhu, 45 minutes up and down. But I heard a very interesting statement. Somebody told me, somebody very close friend of mine. She said that she heard it, that the wonderful thing about devotional services, that moment you step out of your house to come to a temple, even if it takes 1 hour or 2 hours, to the extent where you stay, that is the beginning of your devotional service. It's not the day you come to temple, your devotional service starts. The first step you take out of your house, that's the beginning of your devotional service. That means if you are traveling for 2 hours to come to temple, your devotional service started the first step. Isn't it wonderful rather than just sitting at home and oning that button at the time and then, sleeping on the couch, drinking, eating chips, and then hearing a class? It is better than doing nothing. But this is the way simple devotees, I want to do things the way it is supposed to be done. But Maya tries to just complicate things. Why? Change it. So as I said, we have an innate tendency. So once I just share with you and then we'll talk briefly about Bhakti Siddhanta Sevak Thakur. Few of our friends, we go to, different villages of Vrindavan for some service every year. And, most of us, when we go, we find this Brijbasi is very, even now, whether you go at 9 in the morning or 12 in the afternoon or 2 in the morning, they are outside their house, on their couch, sleeping, relaxing, Also, they have their beads, they're chanting. But that's, so I took the courage to ask one Brijbasi. I said, aap log kaam nahi karte ho kya? Because whether it is 12 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever, they're relaxing in. And what that statement which I heard is just blown off. This was many, many years, decades back I had asked this. But this Brijbasi just blew me off by what he said. He said, jisko kaam hota hai, usko kaam karna padta hai. Listen to. Jisko kaam hai, usko kaam karna padta hai. Hum to Thakur ji pe nirbhar hai. Thakur ji ki seva karte hai. Humko, not to say that you all, Please understand the crux of this. We all have to work because we are not so dependent on Krishna. Like, I remember Maharaj saying that Shivas Thakur would clap 3 times and he would say, I'll depend on Krishna. If Krishna wants to give me 3 claps and Krishna has to provide for me. And Maharaj said, you guys will clap for 100 times, nothing will happen. So don't even try this. It will bleed, but nothing will come. Because we are not having that sort of a devotion. We are not having the devotion of the Brijbasis. We are not having the devotion of Shivas, the dependability of. But what he was saying is that because we are having this lust in the form of gross and subtle lust, we have to slog so hard and our life will become so complicated. And that's why this statement he said, jisko kaam hai, usko kaam karna padta hai. So that's why, because we have this unfortunate liking for complex things, complex desires. Okay, suffer, enjoy, and make your life more complicated. Work 9-to-5 jobs and then do moonlighting and do third job, fourth job, and all sorts of crazy complicated things that we do in our lives. I was just thinking many times we have a very simple, instruction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, Yare dekhe tare kaho, Krishna Upadesh. He said that wherever you go, you preach. It's like, this instruction is like, the rain water which has come on the top. The moment the rain comes, it is pure water. But the moment it touches the floor, when the ground, it becomes mucky and muddy, right? It takes the quality of the ground that is fallen. So Jai Mahaprabhu said, just chant, Yare ke tare kao Krishna Upadesh. And when we receive the instruction, not that we do it all the time, but then when we make it complex, oh, preaching, mera group hai, this is my group. Why are you coming in my group? This is my person I'm preaching. Why are you talking? I mean, this does go on. Right? So preaching, which is a very sweet, simple instruction, but we apply our mind, this is my area, this is my people, and we just mess up the whole preaching understanding. So I'm just trying to understand that Maya Devi, whose unfortunate, thankless task is not to allow things to happen in a simplistic way. She will make sure that we complicate our life. And that is why, I'm not saying that, you know, in preaching we don't require systems. We obviously need to, for organized preaching, we need to have proper systems, organizations and things like that. But the real problem starts when we start complicating with this mentality of I, me and mine. This is my preaching, or this is my area, this is my group, and so on and so forth. It just creates a big problem because it's just a complicated way of living. The moment the word me comes, everything becomes complex. The moment you have Krishna, everything is very simple. So please, Prabhu, I think what we can take home in this verse is Lord Brahma is saying that, you know, as far as you keep your life simple, and that is why, my dear friends, the conviction of why what we are saying is perfect, is that same Lord Brahma, he goes through all this complicated creation process, and that's why he also gets complicated because he's associating with the complicated process. What he desired, he said, you know what, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, I want to have a very simple life. I want to take birth as Haridas Thakur. I do not want any position. I want to just be an outcast. I will not even enter temples. I simply want to do what? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram. So the same Lord Brahma, whom we are describing, he finds it so difficult to remain simple because he is involved. The same Lord Brahma, what did he pray? And he lived his life as Haridas Thakur. So all that he did was just chant Hare Krishna. You know, he was attached to the core principles. So that is the speciality of simple devotion. And of course, as I said, it's an extremely, extremely, extremely special day today. The Disciplines Day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Ki. You know, the beloved spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada and our param guru for most of us. So, very auspicious day. Incidentally, even from the English calendar perspective, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left his body on 31st of December in 1936. So it appears to be the same date, the tithi and the date on the same day. The 31st of December 1936 is when the world was bereft of this very, very, very empowered Acharya. And not only bereft from one side, but the world was left with the amazing legacy that he had left as such a powerful Acharya, and we will just speak briefly about this personality for our purification. Srila Prabhupada always said, whenever he gave his class, you know, I went through multiple classes of Prabhupada when he speaks about Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's disciplines. And of the few instances, 3-4 places he spoke about this story. He said, actually, pure devotees don't live or die. And then he gives this story that, you know, there was a saint, you know, and he saw 4 types of people. And he gave 4 different types of blessings to those 4 types of people. He said, as he was walking, he saw a very opulent prince. And he gave the blessing, Rajaputra Chiramjeevi. You live forever. Rajaputra Chiramjeevi. Then he saw a brahmachari. And then he gave a blessing, Ma Jiva Muniputra. He said, oh, disciple of saintly person, you do not live, you die immediately. So first he gave blessings, you live eternally. To the brahmachari, he said, you die, don't live. And then he saw a saint, a devotee, Vaishnava devotee. He said, jivava marova. I say, whether you live or die, no difference. Either you live or die, doesn't. Then he saw a butcher. And then he say, na jiva na mara. You neither live or die. Now you'll be wondering, what is it? It's beautiful. It's such profound. What a brilliant blessings based on the person. So to the prince, he was enjoying his life, right? He was opulence, he was all opulence. And the saint is always your well-wisher. The saint said, you know, I pray that you live forever. Because the moment you are going to die, you are going to be suffering. Because all your bank account is be exhausted of all the good karma, you are going to be suffering. So I pray for your own good. You live forever, because right now you are really enjoying being a prince of a particular place. To a brahmachari, he said, you know, you are living such an austere life. You are sleeping on the floor. You are drinking whatever is provided by your guru's ashram. You are having a tough life. So I pray you die right now. Because when you are going to die right now, the next life, you are going to be living in the spiritual world. So may you enjoy in the spiritual world. So I pray you die right now. That's my blessing to you. Then he saw a devotee. I said, devotee, all of us, this could be a good blessing if we are a real devotee. He said, you live or you die. Because while you are living, you are chanting Hare Krishna, you are serving Krishna. And while you die, you will be also chanting Hare Krishna and serving Krishna. So no difference. So for you, whether you live or die doesn't make a difference. So that is my blessing to you. And the fourth butcher, he said, na jiova na marova. See, you neither live or die, because while you are living, you are in hell. By the type of profession that you are living. And when you die, you are going to be in further hell. So I pray that you neither live or die, because you are having a horrible butcher's life. So similarly, he was talking in terms of Bhaktisiddhanta Sevi Thakur. I said, for a great soul, you know, they don't die. He reasons still, who says, Vaishnavas die. For thou art still in sound, Vaishnavas die to live. And by living, spread the holy name around. This is the verse written by on the samadhi of Haridas Thakur. So it's a very glorious that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our very special acharya, Grihastha. So he was seeing that there was a huge degradation of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya came and he gave such beautiful, unique teachings of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva teachings. The teachings which was a combination of all the four sampradayas, took the best of all, and he gave those teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. But over time, very short time, those teachings were completely corrupted by upper sampradayas, by all sorts of people who were trying to, you know, make those teachings very, very shallow. So he was thinking that, you know, these teachings have to be revived, and I can't do it. Can you imagine Mahaprabhu Chaitanya's teachings? Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is Supreme Lord himself. In less than 100 years, the power of Kali Yuga is so intense. In less than even 100 years, the whole teachings were corrupted, especially in that region of Bengal. There are all sorts of upper sampradayas, all sorts of Jati Goswamis. You know, they just completely corrupted the whole teachings. It was such a sad thing. That's the power of Kali Yuga. Please understand. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, oh dear Lord, I can't do much. I am trying to do whatever I can. But please send a ray of your own self. That's the requirement of the world. That when the ray of your own self comes, he can do something miraculously wonderful. He can revive the speech teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And to fulfill the Lord's, you know, the Lord is always there to fulfill the desires of all his devotees. And to fulfill his desire, the fourth child of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was named Bimala Prasad. And that was our Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you can see how special he was right from his first day in this world. He was born with the umbilical cord of his mother around his, usually it is around exactly, or his body, like a Brahman thread. Which is very unique, even medically speaking. I checked with a gynecologist, he said, never happens. But he was born with, as if he was a born Brahmana. Not as if, he was a born Brahmana. Very special. That's the beginning. And then, and why I'm repeating this, because you know what, every time I read Prabhupada describing his guru's disciplines or appearance, Prabhupada always mentioned all these stories, repetitively. So, for pleasure of Prabhupada, and this is something that we learn, that he would be happy to hear this story. Many of us will know this story. Aise pata hai, kuch naya batao. We are not here to find new nectar. We are here to find what is required to be spoken. So please, even if you know these stories, I read all lectures of Prabhupada on his disciples' appearance. Every single lecture, Prabhupada spoke all the same stories. So I think we must also hear the same stories. Right? So Prabhupada, he was born in Jagannath Puri. And at Jagannath Puri, there was this Rath Yatra cart which would come. And he was just 6 months old. And the cart, exactly, some of them stopped just outside his house. And then Bhagwati Devi, who was his mother, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was actually the temple administrator for Lord Jagannath Temple. He was not there at home. So Bhagwati Devi rushed. And he said, okay, the cart is stopping outside my house. You know, so let me get some blessings for my newly born baby. So she went there. And, she was the wife of the administrator. So, big position. So, she was allowed to climb the rath. And the moment she climbed the rath and offered obeisances, a beautiful garland of Lord Jagannath fell across the neck of the small, tiny baby. Just to prove that, just wait and watch what this child is going to do to the world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur ki. You know, and so then, you know, when they read his horoscope, you know, usually it's a custom, right? When a child is born, they make the horoscope. I said, this is not an ordinary human being. This is a horoscope of a Mahapurush. The planetary arrangements are such that he is a Mahapurush. He is a great soul who has come for some special purpose. Similar to what Prabhupada's birth was also like, right? Prabhupada's parents also showed his, they said, this man is going to establish 108 temples. Similar. So all these Mahapurushas are known from beginning. We know they are special characters. So then, he was named, very uniquely, he was named Bimala Prasad. And I'm sure many of us, recently we also went to Jagannath Puri, for those who have been on the Yatra. You know, when you go to the temple, and you come out, there are multiple other temples in the temple complex, right, of Lord Jagannath. And one of the most prominent temples is the temple of Bimala Devi. Right? We all saw that? What the speciality of the Bimala Devi temple is, that whatever is offered to Lord Jagannath first, after that Mahaprasad goes to Bimala Devi. And she partakes, and then everything that we all get in that Anand Bazaar, that we all buy of Prasad, is all Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath, Bimala Devi, and that's what we honor. So why was he named Bimala Prasad? Because Lord Bhaktivinoda Thakur confirmedly believed that he is the direct Prasad of Lord Jagannath. Not only Lord Jagannath's Prasad, he is the direct Prasad of Bimala Devi. That's how special he was. That's why he named Bimala Prasad. At the age of seven, he had memorized every single sloka of Bhagavad Gita, kanthastha, by heart. And he not only just by heart like a parrot, but he could speak about any verse from the Bhagavad Gita for a couple of hours. That's the scholarship that he had. That's how brilliant Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur is. And at the age of 16, he started what is called the August Assembly. A group he started of scholars, Sanskrit scholars, were sitting together and doing Sanskrit studies. And what was the single most only criteria to be part of that assembly? You have to take a vow of lifelong celibacy. Only then you can be part. And many people took that vow, but only he survived. That, so Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was a Naishtika Brahmachari. Very powerful. And at the age of 17, or no, at the age of 14 rather, he wrote his own first book as an authority on astrology called the Surya Siddhanta. And Prabhu, that's why what we have is title, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He got this title, Siddhanta Saraswati, right at the age of 14. Because he wrote this book with such authority that he got this title, Siddhanta Saraswati. And one more thing, which of course I didn't notice this day, that because you were such a scholar, you were such a brilliant person, you knew astrology, you knew astronomy. So Jagannath Das Babaji, who is, we have Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose guru was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's guru was, not guru directly, but Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur's guru was Jagannath Das Babaji. So Jagannath Das Babaji, who was staying 6 months in Mayapur and 6 months in Suryakund in Vrindavan. So he gave this assignment to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that please make the Vaishnav calendar of all the Acharyas, Tithis, disciples, appearance. So what Vaishnav calendar we are referring and how often we refer, right? That is a prasad that we are tasting of the work done by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That is his complete long-term contribution to the to our sampradaya. And before he knew that if anything great has to happen, it cannot just be happening automatically. We have to intensely work hard for that. He knew that he was supposed to do some great work for the mission of Lord Chaitanya. But please, all of us should also know that anything great does not come easy. A lot of intense prayers, a lot of intense austerities, a lot of intense endeavor goes to get something good, right? Nothing good comes easy, right? We all know. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur decided that I'm going to chant 1 billion names of the Lord. 1 billion names. And it took him 9 years of chanting 192 rounds every single day. Just like what Haridas Thakur would chant to complete his vow of chanting 1 billion names of the Lord. So for 9 years in the holy land of Sridham Mayapur, for the first 4 years he stayed, he was chanting at the Yoga Pit. Then he got a place which is now Chandrasekhar Bhavan, which became the headquarters of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and later on we know it is his Samadhi place also. He started the remaining 6 years, remaining 5 years, he chanted at the place of Chandrasekhar Acharya's house. 9 years of chanting 192 rounds, intensely austere, sleeping on the floor and eating just once a day. For how many years? 9 years. Nothing great comes easy. Prabhupada, what sort of hard work he did before he was the world acharya. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, that is the type of hard work that he put in. Intense prayers. So then it was time for him to take initiation. Bhakti Thakur said, now you should take initiation. Well, who will initiate such a... He was a scholar. He was one of the top scholars of the world that time. And Bhakti Thakur said that, obviously I will not initiate you. I'm your father. And I can't be initiating you. You take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Now Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was actually illiterate. He didn't go to school ever in his life. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Vimal Prasad approached him and he said that, please Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, please, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Pari Prashna Sevaya. He was intensely in the same mood of humility. He said, please initiate me, otherwise there is no purpose to my life if I don't get initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. He said, no, I can't initiate you. You are such a scholar. He would call him Prabhu. Gaurakishore said, you are my Prabhu. How can I initiate you? So Bhakti Siddhanta was insisting. That is what is required. If you want something, you cannot just get it easily. You have to insist. He was insisting. And Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj said, okay, I will ask Lord Chaitanya. If he tells me yes, I will initiate you. That was the statement. He said, okay, you go right now. So after some time, he came back. I said, did you ask Lord Chaitanya? What did he say? He said, no, I forgot. I was talking to him, but I forgot. He said, okay, I'll ask him later. I said, come back again. So like that, he came a couple of times. And finally, he came, said, with desperation, please understand, you cannot get the greatest treasure of your life in the form of initiation so easily. Otherwise, you don't value it. It is the greatest treasure to get connected to the bona fide spiritual master. For all of us who are initiated, it is the greatest treasure we have. Let's not lose it. And for all others, it takes tremendous effort. And he had to go for months and months and months. And then Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj said, I asked him and he said, I cannot initiate you. I asked Lord Chaitanya and he said, I cannot initiate you. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur just broke down there and there. Because I started profusely crying. This powerful scholar was crying like a child. I said, there is absolutely no value of my life. What's the use of my life? And then Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj saw that this person is really desperate. And then he said, I will make only one disciple and I will only you will be that one disciple. And he initiated Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and officially connected him to the Gaudiya, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki. And then, of course, in everybody's life, this happens. It happened in the life of even Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. The people whom we love, people whom we adore, people whom we are completely dependent upon, our lives is dependent upon those people. At some point of time, those people, they leave us. And in 1914, his dear father, who was his foremost Siksha Guru, he left him. In 1915, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj left him. In 1 year, he lost two of his most prominent people in his life. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj left him and he was in tremendous agony. He said, what will I do now? And how will I survive when these two people are gone? So then, at that time, all the Babajis of Navadvip were not really rightly situated. They said, this is good opportunity. If you get the body of Gaurakishore Das Babaji in our mutt, then there will be a lot of people who will visit our mutt and will make a lot of money. So there was a fight between who takes the body of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So sad, right? How ruthless people can become to such a divine thing of taking care of such a divine thing as the body of such a great soul. There was a fight and police had to come. This Babaji started fighting with each other. They said, I'll take him, I'll take his body. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was sitting and he was in tremendous separation. But he heard of this, he went there straight. He said, none of you have a right to touch the body of this divine person. He is pure and I am his only disciple. I have the right to his body. And if at all you want the right to have his body, if anyone has not sinned in the last 1 year, touch his body. Nobody touched. He said, I make a discount. If anyone who has not sinned for the last 6 months, touch his body. Nobody touched. Because he spoke with such power. He said, 1 month. Nobody touched. He said, 1 day. Nobody touched. Because these people were having such hopeless, horrible personal lives. He knew it. They were perverted people. Just in the guise of a Babaji. Said nobody. So they all left. And then he had the right. No, he was the only person. And then some real serious Babajis came. He said, you know what? Before Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj left, he said, when I die, please drag my body to the streets of Navadvip. So I think that was his last desire. We should do that. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur knew what is his real etiquette. He said, no, that was his humility. We cannot drag his divine body to the streets of Navadvip. It is, we have to respect it. So then he established a samadhi for Gaur Kishwardas Babaji Maharaj. And that's how we have the samadhi of Gaur Kishwardas Babaji at the same place as the samadhi of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as well. And he was still very morose. He was saying that, how will I preach now? And one of the days when he was completely, he had lost all his enthusiasm to preach. Sometimes what happens, right? When we lose such prominent people in our lives, even life becomes a burden to live, isn't it? So he was feeling so despondent. And that one of the days, he got a revelation, a dream, where the Panchatattva came in his dream. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was in his dream. Gaur Kishwardas Babaji Maharaj was in his dream. He said, go Prabhu, we are all with you. You preach the message of Lord Chaitanya everywhere. Similar to what Prabhupada got the dream when he was in Jaladuta, where all the 10 incarnations, all the gurus, they blessed Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami. They'll carry on. So from that time on was the preaching mission of Lord Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. He preached not only in India, but he preached in Burma, in Dhaka, and many, many places around Sri Lanka. He preached. But for us, I think we have got some time. For us, 2 years in the life of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur are very, very important. With the year 1922 and the year 1936. The year 1922, we all know, was a very special time in the history of the world. You know, where one of the friends of Prabhupada, that time he was known as Abhay Charan Day, Narendra Mullick, he insisted that I want to take you to meet a sadhu. And Prabhupada at that time had lost faith in the sadhus. Because where he was staying, please understand, Prabhus, I think it's very important. As devotees, how we behave is so very important. Because not only we are messing up with our lives, with our wrong behavior, but we are messing up with the lives of so many people. So Prabhupada saw so many sadhus in when he was a young boy on his street. They would be having illicit relations with so many ladies. And he would see them doing all sorts of crazy things, smoking bidis and everything. And they would wear a dress of a sannyasi. They would do begging. And again, they would come and do all sorts of sinful activities. So he said, these are the sadhus, I don't really trust them. So when Narendra Mullick told Prabhupada, Abhay Charan, that please come to meet a sadhu, he said, I'm not interested. He practically pushed him. And then he went to this place, Ulta Danga Junction Road 1. And then, I'm sure many of us have visited. And that's where Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, the most famous, world-changing instruction. What was that instruction? It was a world-changing instruction. He said, you are an intelligent young man. You should take the message of Lord Chaitanya and preach in the world in the English language. Prabhupada says it very clearly. I read Prabhupada's lectures. He said, right there and then. Of course, he argued. Prabhupada had questions. We all know what he asked. He said, how can we preach when India is not independent? And the Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur replied, the Krishna consciousness cannot wait. It cannot wait for anything else. Convinced Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, right there and then, in 1922, I had accepted Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur as my spiritual master. The formal initiation came 11 years later in 1933. But he had accepted Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur as his as spiritual master. And then comes the year 1936. Where was Srila Prabhupada at that time? He was staying right in Mumbai, very close to the place where we are sitting. And Prabhupada wrote a letter. Prabhupada was here for business for a couple of years in Mumbai, Bombay at that time. And he wrote a letter to Prabhupada in the month of December. In November he wrote a letter. That, you know what, he had the same thing, that you have got such wonderful brahmachari and sannyasi disciples who are doing so much service for you. what can I do as a grihastha? I'm just busy with my family duties. And the reply came on around 15th or 16th of December. That same instruction said, you please carry on the message, take this message of Lord Chaitanya English package. It will be good for you and it will be good for everyone that you meet. He wrote this message. And on 31st of December, just a fortnight after he wrote this letter, Prabhupada says with great separation, Prabhupada says that in this Bagh Bazar temple in Kolkata, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he asked one of his disciples, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, to sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada song, which is the aspiration of all Gaudiyas, to really become the assistant of the assistant of the assistant of Srimati Radharani, in the form of being the assistant of Sri Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami. Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Sei Mora Sampada. So he asked one of his disciples, very prominent disciple, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, B.R. Sridhar Swami, to sing this. Then he asked one of his other disciples to sing the Sikshastakam. And there, at the quite an early age of 62, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur left his body to go to the spiritual world. And left behind such a powerful, and what he had left behind, Prabhus, his dozens and dozens of Gaudiya Mutts, not only in India, but in multiple places. And what really comes prominent as a personality of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, he was a very, very revolutionary preacher. And there is a very interesting story that they were making a temple. You can see how Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so clearly focused on the essence. So they were making a beautiful temple, and they engaged construction workers to make the temple. But all these construction workers, one of the things that they need to really continue working for long hours, that they have to smoke bidis every few hours, every few minutes rather. So they would take, at that time, the way I understand is there were no bidis available on the stores. They would make their own bidis. They would have their leaves and they would put the tobacco and they would make their own bidis and smoke. And by doing that, they would waste a lot of time because they have to roll the bidis and smoke. So very, very revolutionary. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur told all the brahmacharis, you roll the bidis. Because you are not doing, you that's the way you assist in the construction. You roll the bidis, and so that they don't waste time in the construction. When they need bidis, they have the bidis too. Now, please understand, this is a very broad vision acharya who can do this. We can do this. There was another that, people usually had a very different concept. Please understand, before Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Jagannath Babaji, the Gaudiya Vaishnava was a very, very, it was seen as a process for renounced people. And people who had any sorts of opulence or any sorts of, some caliber in doing things, it's not meant for them. So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, one fine day, he drove in Radha Kund in a car. People were surprised that how can a sannyasi drive in a car? He said, why not? If you have a car, you should drive in the car. So what was his principle? The principle was of Yukta Vairagya, which Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was very clearly teaching. And it was he, my dear friends, who actually made a very clear understanding that householders, devotees can live in palatial buildings and devotee monks can stay in big temples. It was never done earlier. I repeat, it was he by his own practice who actually started that householder devotees, if they have a big house, no problem. You stay in your palace, you stay in your big houses, but you make Krishna the center of your life, no problem. And big temples were made by him. Earlier there were no big temples, just small bhajan kutis and things like that. He made big Gaudiya Mutt temples, and he actually said that even devotee monks, brahmacharis and sannyasis can stay in big temples for service of the Lord. So this was, I hope we are able to understand what a broad vision this acharya had at that point in time. And one of the most revolutionary statement that which can practically, if we understand it well, it can really change our lives. And this is statement, he said that we are not here to see Krishna. He said this statement with profound depth. We all want to see Krishna, right? Many of us think, oh, I want to see Krishna. But he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur said, we are not here to see Krishna, but we are here to serve Krishna in such a way that He wants to see us. Prabhus, this is such a profound statement. This is the mood of the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are not here to really, you know, enjoy seeing Krishna. That's not our mood. That's not our purpose of life. But we want to simply serve Krishna. And we are so busy serving Krishna that Krishna should ask, who is this person serving? I want to see him. That is the mood of our devotee. He made it. Devotees went to Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur and said, wow, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, these devotees have so much devotion to Giriraj. They are doing Dandavat Parikrama. They were at Govardhan with his disciples and they are doing Dandavat Parikrama. Some of them are doing extra Dandavat Parikrama. That at one place they offer 108 times Dandavata and then they go one place ahead. So they say, wow, Bhaktisiddhanta, so much devotion they have. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur said, yes, no doubt they have tremendous devotion. And that came, from the statement came out his Rasika mood. The real gift that he gave us as a Gaudiya Acharya. He said, no doubt they have devotion to Krishna. But as far as we are concerned, he said, we are devotees of Srimati Radharani. And we worship Krishna because Radharani worships him. Of course, this is a very high elevated understanding. But he was sharing it us. He was giving us this gift about the supremacy, the divinity of the position of Srimati Radharani in our Sampradaya. You're teaching us. So this is the beautiful pastime of Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur. He was such a committed and strict to himself. And I specifically kept this pastime to the end to just show it, with all this, what was the overruling personality of his, that he was extremely strict with himself. That when at the age of 2 or 3, by mistake he ate some mangoes before being offered to Krishna. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur just very mildly corrected him and said, no, you know what, you should not eat anything before it is offered to the Lord. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, what is the conviction or what is the determination of a child of 2-3 years old? He said, he took a vow that I'll never eat mangoes ever in my life. And Prabhupada says, in every single lecture I saw him saying this, that we would offer him mangoes, the best of mangoes, they want to offer to the guru. He said, no, I cannot eat mangoes. I'm an offender. I will never eat mangoes in my life. And he never ate mangoes ever in his life. And that was not just the mango pastime of showing, but that was the determination, the dhrida vrata that he had. That is what made him what we call the Simha Guru. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is called the Simha, the Lion Guru. Because that was his personality. The determination, the fervor, the intensity of a lion. And that's why we are very fortunate, my dear friends, today to celebrate this very, very special Tirobhav Tithi of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And today also, as I said, is the last day of the year. Of course, you know, this year, we don't necessarily believe in this new year in one sense, from the spiritual perspective. But we are also social beings, and socially 2023 is getting over. We work around the English calendar, right? All our activities, all our jobs are around the Western calendar. So we obviously respect the Western calendar, the English calendar also. And it's a wonderful opportunity to really, as I said, to show tremendous gratitude for what the Lord has given us in this year, and to also see whatever unwanted things are there in this year that we are cultivated to get rid of them. And we start with a fresh slate, as we say. You know what is slate, right? You have to write something and you clean it. It looks black. And then you start again writing. To start your slate blank. So let us start afresh, rejuvenated, refocused, recommitted, rededicated. We're going to use all the re different things to the mission of the Lord, to our own lives, and make it a better life 2024, and welcome the new year. And we are already beginning we're already here on the last day. The best thing that we could do is obviously have the darshan of the Lord and pray to Him to really not only have us living a very God-centric life, but let there be sarva sukhino bhavantu. Let there be peace in the world, because only when there is peace, as we understand from the Bhagavatam, and only in the mode of goodness, the purport says, can we execute Krishna consciousness. In the mode of rajas and tamas, we can't really practice Krishna consciousness. And the world is filled. Already there are multiple wars, serious wars going on in the world. And we hope and pray. And as devotees, we don't only pray for ourselves, but we pray for our immediate family, we pray for our God family, and obviously we pray for the whole world. That let there be sarva sukhino bhavantu. That let there be peace and happiness in the world. And it is possible. It is possible if we all, whatever own ways, keep Krishna in the center of our lives. Then our lives will be God-centric. And our lives will be full of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.